Today on Family Talk.
Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh. Today we are bringing you part two of Dr. Dobson's talk with James Muffet of the Student Statesmanship Institute, along with his star graduate, Jonathan Williams. They're continuing to discuss how they are training the next generation of young people to be involved in the media, politics, and civic service. Let's listen now to today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed our program last time. I hope our listeners who didn't have the opportunity to hear what we had to say will get a copy of the program, because I wish every parent could have heard it. Let's kind of pick up where we left off. Our guest was James Muffet. He's back with us again today. And he started a program in the 90s called Student Statesmanship Institute. And let's start with you summarizing what that program is and what it is designed to accomplish.
Okay. Well, thank you. It's great to be back with you again, by the way. Thank you. Just appreciate being here. It's such an honor. This program is a week-long what we call practicum, and it's a leadership training platform, and it's a biblical worldview teaching environment for kids, high school kids. And it uses simulations in the legislative, media, business, judicial, and campaign arenas, and puts kids in real-world leadership simulations so that they can learn how to live their faith out in the real world. And we've been doing this since the 90s, and it's just
and
been
most of them don't want to be there.
And most of them don't want to come, and most of 60% of them come back for a second bite at the apple because they enjoyed it so much. And the passion that we have is because we get to see that spark go in those kids' eyes, both spiritually and very practically, with a sense of purpose and mission to be a leader for Christ in their generation.
Now, your program sounds very similar to the Summit Ministry here in Colorado Springs.
Yes.
And that's not a mistake. That is by design.
We actually use Dr. Noble's Understanding of the Times curriculum for our biblical worldview teaching.
Yes.
But we augment that with this leadership platform that puts a kid in the actual chair of a legislator or a journalist or a lawyer or a businessman and lets them learn these principles while they're living it out in this environment with expert coaches. And the whole thing is motivational in the idea that you are called by God to be a leader in your generation.
If I had to put it into words, Dr. Noble and now Jeff Myers, who runs the program of Summit Ministry here, will say that their purpose is to prepare kids for the challenges of college.
Absolutely.
And those that are going to look at them and say, you don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. They're going to challenge your faith in God and everything that you've been taught as a Christian in your – I hope you were taught in your church. So they're trying to prepare. It's a preparatory program. Are you doing the same thing?
The fruit of what we do is absolutely preparatory for every kid who comes through, because they are rooted in the truth and the principles that their parents taught them and that their pastors and their spiritual leaders taught them through our program are reinforced and augmented. And there's an apologetic component to what we do, and the cultural application of biblical thinking is integrated into every facet of what we do.
Yeah.
So they're prepared to be an advocate for their faith. Bible says, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do it with gentleness and respect. So we feel like we're preparing kids for college, but even beyond. This is for career and how to be a courageous Christian, even in a corrupt culture.
Let's role play a little bit here. Suppose that you go to a state university and you got excited about being part of this big school that has 50,000 students and a football team and all that, and you're in the freshman class and you're in a class that deals with values and government and such things, political science. and the professor towers over you intellectually. Mm-hmm. He's got a PhD, and he knows what he believes, and you haven't even thought about these things. And he says, James, stand up. And you stand up, and he says, I want to hear you try to defend the existence of God. Mm-hmm. And I want to know why you believe that, because mm-hmm. we don't believe that mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. And he makes you feel like a fool.
Sure.
Are you getting him ready for that moment?
Oh, absolutely. And we have taught the students, and we teach them, that the best way is to use the Jesus method, which is to not answer the question, but to answer the question with a question. So the question is, Professor, before I answer you, could you tell me how it is that you believe that all of the complexity of this universe, including your own body, happened by chance over billions of years?
Yeah.
And Mr. Professor, do you believe in absolutes? Well, no. Well, are you absolutely sure that there are no absolutes? Mm-hmm. So we're trying to teach this Socratic method of not being on the defensive, which is what the whole culture is trying to do to Christians.
Yeah.
And how can we turn that around?
Does that break your heart, by the way, to have this naive youngster get to college and he's now in his junior, senior year he's got so much on the line. He's spent so much money and he's been told everything is wrong mm-hmm. that he was taught as mm-hmm. a child.
Mm-hmm. It's very sad. It breaks my heart. And that happened to me when I went to college. You know, even though I was already a rebel and estranged, it just reinforced and, you know, it solidified that thinking in my mind. And so no one's ever really prepared. But what we do at SSI is we try to tell these kids, just like some, you're going to face these questions. We can't give you all the answers now. But what we want to do is reinforce these basic principles so that you're not embarrassed by questions and you don't feel intimidated when you get them.
All right. You have brought Exhibit A here with us today, and we're thankful and pleased to have him here. His name is Jonathan Williams, mm-hmm. who came through your program.
Yes.
Jonathan, when were you there?
Well, thanks for having me, Dr. Dobson. It's started out in 1999, so a long time ago, a very long time ago. It was 3 years that I participated in the program.
Were you a student at the time?
I was. I was finishing up high school as a homeschool student, a product of two public school teachers who decided for the best of their family they would sacrifice and homeschool me because the local school system was a failing school system and they didn't want that for us.
And they sent you to SSI?
They did.
Did you want to go?
I was probably one of the minority of kids that actually do like this and was really intrigued by the concept and really learning more about why we believe what we believe and was brought up as Christian, accepted the Lord as when I was 4 years old, and just an augmentation of, I think, where, you know, my parents wanted to go in terms of my education at home and something that could be provided that they didn't have the resources to provide. The experiential education that's provided at SSI is just something that you can't find anywhere else.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Northwood University in Midland, Michigan. It's a private business school. I studied economics there.
And is it decidedly Christian or just a secular school?
Well, you know, it has a lot of Judeo-Christian principles. I don't know that they'd overtly say we're a Christian university, but I like to think that based on the Northwood idea and the principles of Northwood University, there's a strong case to be made that there's a lot of interlinkage there between a Judeo-Christian worldview and what they taught there. So I didn't have the experience of so many of my compatriots in my age group going to a liberal state school that were, you know, taught to question everything you knew about.
Had anybody challenge your Christian values and beliefs?
Certainly not to the extent that a lot of my friends did.
Yeah. Yeah. But you were aware that they were going through something different.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, as you were discussing, I mean, that can be so intimidating for a youngster that doesn't have any life experience yet, that hasn't even thought through some of these existential questions as growing up. And, you know, many times, you know, perhaps hadn't been taught that at all earlier on in school. And then having these, you know, tenured professors with advanced degrees, that's certainly something that you don't want to be put on the spot. That's probably a very scary thing for most kids at that age.
Well, it would terrify me, especially you know, with my fellow students all around me who believe apparently things very different than what I was taught. I think I would have withstood that, but I'm not sure.
You know, until you're put in that position, we don't really know almost. It's one of those things that you almost have to experience to know how you handle it.
Now, after going through SSI, you did what?
So then I migrated to the swamp, as President Trump would say, and the land of make-believe, Washington, D.C., and have been out there for a dozen years now and worked in the center-right movement and one of economics. So I studied economics at Northwood, like I mentioned, and so I went into kind of the financial side of policy, working for various conservative free market organizations in our nation's capital.
And what has been that experience?
Well, it's something else, I'll tell you. Nothing really prepares you for the experience of Washington, D.C. until you're there. And I know you've experienced it in spending a lot of time there working with our nation's leaders. But, I mean, I think there's no greater privilege than being a part of what's going on right now. There's amazing things happening both at our nation's capital but also in the various state capitals and local governments all across the country. So to have the ability to go out there and spread truth to a system that certainly needs it and is lacking it.
Yeah.
It's really been incredible. But it's challenging. There's no doubt about it. Those of us that want to stand up for truth and Judeo-Christian values and really America's heritage, we're always under an onslaught. There's no doubt about it. Whether you look at media, academia, politics, it's certainly a challenging environment.
So you parlayed your training with SSI into a career, actually, where you're getting an opportunity to stand up for what you believe in a governmental setting.
Yeah, and it's really – the Lord's really brought it full circle for me, as he has with James as well, is that, you know, I was in Michigan State Capitol as part of SSI as a sophomore in high school, sitting in the chairs of our elected representatives for the state of Michigan and having that kind of awe-struck moment and being a part of that discussion. And now today, I go around to America's 50 state capitals working with our elected leaders, thousands of them, talking about best principles for American government.
You didn't tell me that. I want to know more about that. You're actually traveling to all 50 states, talking to students or talking to legislators. Who are you dealing with?
Well, primarily America's state legislators. So my organization, the American Legislative Exchange Council, really works with the conservative state legislators in the 50 state capitals, and that's my primary audience. Now, I love to go guest lecture for universities and other audiences, business groups as well, but I work with state legislators to really talk about the key American principles of good economics, mostly in my case. That's what my organization does. But, you know, Dr. Dobson is, as you know, going back to the godfather of economics, Adam Smith, you know, before he wrote The Wealth of Nations, his famous piece on economics, his book before that was A Theory of Moral Sentiments. And he talks about how you need a moral compass to be able to have a free market and have a prosperous economy. So for me, it all comes back together.
Mm-hmm. Let's let you talk directly to parents about sending their kids to SSI. They've been in a church for many years. They've heard the pastor. They've had a relatively conservative setting for their spiritual training in church. Why would you want to send them off now to this program at SSI?
Well, it's the best decision they'll ever make. It really is for their young people. And, you know, we're called to be the salt and the light and to be a part of the culture and to be influencers in culture. And this is a great way to learn, as James Buffett was talking about, leadership traits, ways to influence through the culture, ways to influence through politics. But it doesn't need to be about politics. Whether they want to go into business, academia, media, no matter what the career calling that they have on their lives, these kids will benefit from this kind of training and experiential learning that is done and the connections that are made. I keep in touch with so many of my classmates from the late 1990s, even to today, and catch up with them around the country as I travel or even around the world. So it is one of the most beneficial programs that parents could do to really instill those values, the American values that we have forgotten as a culture, into the next generation.
You really can't go too far wrong when you're teaching a Christian worldview to people who don't know it, because you're lost until you figure that out. Mm-hmm. Trying to come to a conclusion about the big questions, the ontological questions of life, you know, who am I? Why am I here? Who put me here? What am I here to do? Is there meaning to life? Yeah, you know, I wrote a book called Life on the Edge for those between 16 and 26. And we did some focus groups before we released the book. And we had students around a table who didn't necessarily know anything about the Christian way of life. And we asked them what mattered to them most. What did they feel they were lacking most? Unbelievably, almost all of them said meaning. Mm. They didn't have any meaning. I don't know what I'm here to do. I don't know who I am. I don't know why I ought to invest myself in much of anything. Mm. Oh, man, that's depression with a big D, isn't it?
Well, we're missing the foundations, exactly. And we shouldn't be, you know, really surprised when so many young people have this lack of purpose and all these questions that they don't know the answers to. If we've lost the foundations of why we believe what we believe, that's really one of the root of the matter there.
James, yes. In your conversation with the students, mm-hmm. even though they've been in a Christian setting, mm-hmm. do a lot of them have questions about meaning?
Absolutely. It's one of the primary outcomes that we were surprised by at the end. And the early theme for our camp was, I have a destiny. And the whole concept was, you were created by God for this time and this place. And he has a mission and a purpose for you, very special. No one else can fulfill it. And you've got to discover all that God has put in you so that you can live it out and give it to the world on behalf of Christ as his ambassador. And this sense of meaning and purpose was my biggest problem when I was a teenager. I didn't know why I was here. The basic question, why am I even here? No clue. And so we really focus on that. And that sense of destiny.
Did you go to a Christian church?
No. I grew up in a family that went to church and we did church, but I had never made that commitment to Christ. And it wasn't that I was living that out. And I actually rejected Christ because of issues and, you know, the leadership and hypocrisy and stuff, and just turned it completely away. But when I came to Christ, one of the first things I learned was, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. And I remember being stunned by the idea that God had a purpose for me. And it changed my life.
Who was teaching you these things?
It was just, I was in a small campus ministry in Kentucky, at Western Kentucky University. And I just remember a sermon on that. And I remember kind of walking home or driving home that night and just, I was remarking out loud, I can't believe that God has a purpose for me. And then my life's mission became to discover what his purpose was so I could do it. And we do the exact same thing at SSI. We tell them that. We make sure they understand. And then we say, your job, you're on an adventure, you're on a treasure hunt to discover God's purpose for your life. And when you find it, and when you do it, and when you live it, that's life in the sweet spot. That's the most pleasure. That's the most joy. That's the most excitement you could ever have in your life. So make that your life's goal, is to unfold God's purpose for your life. And man, oh man, that gets people excited, because if you don't think you have a purpose and then you discover you do, that's like finding the pearl of great price.
Yes.
Go sell everything, because man, this purpose over here, I've got to go for that.
And kids buy that.
Oh my gosh. It's so, that's part of the light that goes on, is that sense of purpose. And
is it fun watching the light flicker and then come on?
I can tell you there is no greater joy.
How many students do you have in a summer?
Each summer we have about 300 in Michigan, and 3 different weeks with 8 different leadership simulations, and it takes 150 adult and college age volunteers to make all the simulations and all the complexity run. So,
yeah. Tell us what a moot court is.
If you ever wanted the most exciting experience in your life, is you come watch our kids, moot court kids, teenagers, 16, 17 years old, in our Michigan Supreme Court chamber, standing in front of 2 or 3 real Supreme Court justices, sitting Supreme Court justices, arguing a constitutional case about religious liberty. And doing it so well that these judges will say to these kids, you are performing better than my law students. I would take you on the road against any law school in the country. This is high school kids after a week.
Come on.
I am not joking.
And then they get a decision.
The judges render a decision, and then the judges coach them afterwards on what they did and what they didn't do. And so
many
of them.
How do you get them to participate with you?
Who?
These judges.
Well, I've been working, helping them get elected for 20 years. And the court, they open up their courtroom. It's for the next generation. These are the instruments of government. And these are my friends, many of them, because I've helped them get elected going all the way back to 2000. And I work on their campaigns and I help them. And these are strict rule of law justices that are amazing people. And they open up just like the House chamber, the Speaker of the House opens up the floor for our kids to come in. And it's exciting because these judges will tell you that there is no doubt that this is the future for the next generation.
I asked Jonathan to kind of role play with parents and tell them why they should send their kids. Let me hear you. You've been saying that for 2 days now, but tell us again, why should parents send their kids away for a part of the summer? What is it, 2 weeks?
It's a one-week program, but we host it three different times throughout the summer. So,
okay, and to spend money to send these kids away for that period of time. Why should they do that?
Well, if you're a parent and you love your kids and you want them to be rooted in Christ and you want them to have a basic, solid foundation in the Word of God and you want them to have an opportunity to discover God's purpose for their lives, you send them to this program and they get all of that. But in addition to that, they learn leadership, they learn critical thinking, they learn public speaking, they learn teamwork, they learn all these kinds of ideas that are critical to whatever career they're going to go into. So this is a preparatory leadership launching program that, first of all, connects kids to Christ, but then connects them to their mission, which is an ambassador for Christ in the world. And there is no other place that I know of that does that strong biblical worldview, commitment to Christ teaching, combined with the leadership practicum in the same week. Yeah. And so this is unique. And I tell parents, you know, your kids won't want to come, just like your son.
Yeah.
And you got to use sometimes a little effort. Maybe you got to expend some parental capital. But I can tell you the biggest majority of those kids will tell you later, thank you, because it was an experience unlike any other I've ever had in my life.
You know, what's really sad to me, James, is that only 4% of millennials have a Christian worldview.
And part of that is because it's been a kind of comfortable in America historically for Christians and their beliefs. They haven't really been under attack for those beliefs until probably the last half a generation. I'm talking about an overt attack. How did we lose the culture in the way that we are? And it's got seeds that go way back in history. And now our job is to try to turn that. And the only way we can do it is to sow a seed in every kid we can possibly do right now, because we don't know what God's going to do with those kids. Look
James,
at this guy.
If we don't turn it, we've lost the nation.
We have. But that's in God's hands too. And we know that because God is sovereign and he raises up leaders out of the most inconspicuous and unassuming places and saved all kinds of cultures and nations from all kinds of calamities, both biblically and historically. So I think we have hope. People who come and see our kids, this is what they say to me most often. Parents will say, when I see your kids, it gives me hope.
That and prayer. We need to be praying for our nation because we've lost so many of the young people.
So many. And I'm doing my part, and I appreciate you for having us on because you know, if God can give us a little more steam and a little broader reach and we can find other people in other states that would partner with us, it would be a dream come true for me. But also, it's more important, not about me, it's about the next generation.
Well, our guest has been James Muffet and Jonathan Williams. Our time is gone, but come back and see us again.
I would love to.
All right.
Such a great ministry for young people to be involved with. You've been listening to Dr. Dobson talk with James Muffet and Jonathan Williams from the Student Statesmanship Institute on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Go to drjamesdobson.org to find out more information about Student Statesmanship Institute and how you can be involved. While you're online, would you please consider how you can support the work of Family Talk financially? When you partner with us, you help us create great resources to strengthen families and help people live righteously in today's culture. We understand that times are tough. We really do appreciate your prayers and your support. If you're able to give, you can donate online at drjamesdobson.org. If you'd prefer to reach us by phone, the toll-free number to call is 877-732-6825. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure to join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton. Thanks for listening to Family Talk. If you're hurting, you got troubles in your life, going through deep waters, we'd like to talk with you. You can call us toll-free right now, 877-732-6825. That number again, toll-free, 877-732-6825. Or reach us from our website at drjamesdobson.org. We're here to help you.